possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Happy birthday to one of my favorite people of all time, Chris Cooley, today. Assuming the internet's right, it's not always right, but I'm pretty sure it is on this one. Chris Cooley, 43 years old. He would hate that I am doing this, but he won't even know because A, he doesn't listen, and B, he just doesn't care about sports, so there's no reason that he would be attracted to anything that was said on my show today. And no one will tell him, I'm sure. He just doesn't like any attention brought to himself. Truly one of the least amount of egoed professional successful athletes I have ever been around. I mean, he has zero ego. You know what? Riggins, zero ego. And I was lucky enough to work with both of those gentlemen. By the way, one of the reasons he does not pay attention to sports, and you guys know this, over the last couple of years, the number of appearances he's made in doing film breakdown, it's always me kind of asking him or telling him that I need him to do it. That's when he does it. But it's not his thing. His thing is to build things like houses, to hang out with wife and kids, to coach wrestling, which he's doing at one of the powerhouse junior college wrestling programs in the country out in Wyoming. And he loves fishing. And he told me this last week because we caught up last week for a while. He took Travis Kelce out fishing recently. Taylor was not there. Taylor Swift was not with Travis, but Travis was in Wyoming, and he and Cooley know each other, you know, the tight end fraternity, and Cooley took Kelce fishing on one of the many rivers near Cooley's house where he fishes. Anyway, happy birthday to number 47. Good morning, everybody, on this Friday, July 11th. You know, I've got Wimbledon on here in my studio, and I've been watching it. You know, Taylor Fritz and Carlos Alcaraz are going head-to-head in a men's semifinal. I've actually watched a little bit more of Wimbledon this week than I have in a long time, in part because I was a fan of that German woman, Laura Sigmund. We talked about her earlier in the week. She nearly knocked off Sabalenka. Sabalenka ended up losing yesterday to the American in the semifinals. But I realized something about tennis, Wimbledon. And actually, let me amend. It's not something that I realized. It's something that was more confirmed for me. Once again, I used to love tennis, but I don't anymore. You know, and two things kind of confirm that for me, you know, in the last even just 24 hours. One, I made a tea time for Saturday morning smack dab in the middle of the men's final. Breakfast at Wimbledon, men's final Sunday morning every year. You know, they play it on Sunday morning. They play the women's final on Saturday morning. There was a time I never missed breakfast at Wimbledon, the men's final. I didn't miss the women's final. It didn't even occur to me that I would be missing it when I committed to golf Sunday morning. And by the way, it doesn't matter to me. I'd much rather go play golf than sit and watch 4 hours of tennis. Tennis for me, much more than I think anything else, is something that I used to love. I used to love to watch it. I actually used to love to play it. And now I just don't care and I never make time for it. If it's on like it is now and I'm not doing anything, I am doing something right now, but I, you know, wasn't, you know, yesterday afternoon after the show, I'll watch it. You know, the other thing that kind of confirmed for me that I'm not a big fan of the sport anymore is, you know, an event like Wimbledon was a bucket list item for me. And I actually got to go. I went back in 2007. I've been just once. It was fun. I actually went by myself, which was weird. But we were in Paris on a family vacation. And I just said to my wife, you know what? This is a bucket list item. I am, you know, a 45-minute flight. I think I can get tickets. And would you mind if I took a day and just did it? And she didn't care, and I went and did it. I actually stood in the queue, in the long line, for tickets, got tickets, went in, went center court, went all of it. It was a very lovely day. Long day, but lovely day. But anyway, I was watching this morning, and they're doing the, you know, the camera pan of all of the celebrities, you know, Cruz and DiCaprio and all of them. And I just thought, who in the hell would want to sit and watch tennis in blazing heat, by the way? It's outrageously hot in London this week, where you might end up having to sit for 4 hours for just one match. That's a long time to sit. There's no other sporting event. I guess if you go to cricket matches, but in our, you know, North American sports, you're not there for 4 hours. College football games, you can be there for 4 hours. But it's also, you know, an active participant sort of, you're up and about, you're loud, you're clapping, you're cheering, you're yucking it up with people. You can't do that. You got to basically sit there and be quiet for 4 hours. That's a long time to sit quietly. There was a time where, you know, I would have loved, and I did. I went to the U.S. Open 6 or 7 times in Flushing Meadow. Great event to go to. I have zero interest to ever go back. And I was sitting there. I'm like, God, man, that is a tough grind to sit there for one match up to 4 hours. If you're going to sit there for both men's semifinals, you might be there for 9 hours for two matches. It's not on my list, bucket or otherwise, anymore. So tennis for me is the thing that I used to love that I just don't care about anymore. What sport or sporting event for you is one in which you used to love, it was a can't miss, whether it was live or on television, that you now just don't care about or don't have time for anymore? I think part of that is age. When you get to a certain age, you have, you know, other interests that end up sort of trumping the, you know, the ancillary interests. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. What sport or sporting event was a can't miss for you, and now you couldn't care less about it, or you don't have time for it anymore, and it is just fallen way down the list? 301-230-0980. I was just thinking about that, and I was like, man, I used to be so into this. And I think I've thought about that, you know, every year for the last several years. And, you know, I do have friends that didn't used to be into tennis that are now into tennis. You know why? Because they bet tennis, and they live bet tennis all the time. Apparently for some, it's an opportunity. I always say, be careful about betting opportunities. Today's opportunity is tomorrow's, yeah, looking for some help to pay off the man. 301-230-0980. What sport or sporting event did you used to absolutely love? It was can't miss, and now you don't care that much for anymore. By the way, for me, like, the majors in tennis in particular were must watch. Not just when it got down to the final four, you know, the semis and the finals. I would sit there for the U.S. Open especially. You know, the U.S. Open is, you know, a time frame that syncs up with the beginning of football season too. But on those weeknights at the end of the summer or that first week in September, when you would have matches that would go sometimes into the early morning hours, I can remember watching, you know, Todd Martin and Andre Agassi play until about 2 a.m. You know, there were some of those matches, Connors and Patrick McEnroe in that famous 1990 Connors run to the semifinals. The first run, he's down 2-0 to Patrick McEnroe. The match didn't end until like 2:50 a.m. I used to sit there and watch all of it. I thought it was incredibly dramatic. You know, Pete Sampras throwing up in flower beds on the sides. Tennis is a grueling sport. It is, you know, there's no help. It's just you. And it's you sometimes for 4 or 5 hours. I used to love that. The U.S. Open in particular. I still think the U.S. Open is kind of a very dramatic event. It can be, but nowhere near as important. I don't watch any of that stuff in the early rounds unless there's something dramatic. Like Serena in recent years, before she retired, I was watching some of those matches thinking they might be her final matches. I do like watching Coco Gauff when she plays. This new kid on the men's side, Ben Shelton, I might watch him, but there's no appointment watching here. The Australian Open, remember, it's still the case because they haven't changed time zones, where basically you wake up and they're like in the fifth set of a massive match, you know, and it was great. I don't even turn it on. I forget that it's on in January, you know, leading into the championship games and eventually the Super Bowl week. I think that's when it typically gets played. And it's like a Tuesday morning, and if you wake up and you turn on the TV at 5:15 in the morning, you wake up, it's like tennis is going on, live tennis from Melbourne. The days of Wimbledon on HBO, didn't miss it. Couldn't care less now. Max, do you have, you're much younger, so maybe you haven't gotten to the point where you are over something, but is there an event or a sport that you have tired of?
I wouldn't say tired of. It's more falls into the line of the question where, like, just not having the time to keep up with it as much anymore as I used to. Baseball is kind of my, I hate to say it, because, like, I mean, I work at the flagship, basically, but at the same time, 162 games in, like, 185 days is so much to keep up with, and it's so much time to invest, so that's one that I kind of have fallen off with ever since I was a kid, because when I was a youth, I love the Nats, and I mean, I still do, but like at the same time, I had a connection because there's Bryce Harper, Anthony Rendon, right. Like they were all coming up kind of when I was growing up, so it was a big thing for me. And since the World Series, I've kind of just checked out almost. I mean, I've been keeping up casually, but not as nearly as hardcore as I used to. Another one, this is only every 4 years, but I used to, when I was a little kid, get really juiced up for the World Cup, because I don't know, I'm not a huge like club soccer guy, but in terms of international soccer, I'm drawn to it. So that was one that when I was really little, I used to get like all amped up for. Team USA, you know, I felt they had a fighting chance back when I was younger. Now I see that that's not as a realistic expectation as it used to be, but yeah, the World Cup and baseball are kind of two that I've fallen off on a little bit, yeah.
Baseball for me, I mean, when I was much younger, I loved baseball. The regular season, not so much, but I would pay attention a lot more than I do now. And remember, for 34 years, we didn't have baseball or a baseball team to follow. And unlike many of my friends, I did not adopt the Orioles. I wanted my own team in Washington. But baseball, it wouldn't be in that category for me. For me, the other one would probably be the NBA regular season. I used to watch a lot of NBA during the regular season. It's been years since I've really watched a lot of NBA during the regular season. So this is not a new, you know, phenomena for me. But the NBA regular season became unwatchable for me, you know, probably 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago. And I used to love it. And I wouldn't miss a Wizards game. And up until recently, I would still watch most Wizards regular season games. But the one that really and truly for me was a can't miss, and now it is an absolute can miss, and I don't even think about missing it, is tennis. And the four majors were always the big draw. You know, for me, Wimbledon, the U.S. Open, the French was a distant third behind, you know, those two. And then the Australian was just interesting because of the time that you could get up and watch it. But what is it for you? 301-230-0980. What sport or sporting event did you used to love? It was can't miss, but now you just don't care about it or don't have time for it anymore. 301-230-0980. We've got some football on the show today for sure and a lot more, but we'll start with this. Want to hear what you say. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and theteam980.com.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut.
An artist.
An actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW. Countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
From Paul on Twitter. So Cooley's birthday is today, and your buddy Scott's birthday was yesterday. Actually, it wasn't, but I'm looking on the internet here, and people were saying happy birthday to Scott yesterday. So the internet isn't always right, because I know yesterday was not his birthday. Weird. The internet's not always right, you know? You know where the internet's always, almost always wrong? Is when you put in, like, you're interested in somebody, you know, some athlete or some celebrity's net worth. Apparently, those things are so far off from being true that I've had many people in that realm that get searched for that say, not even close, but I wish it were true. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. I turned on the TV this morning. Wimbledon was on. I realized I had made a tee time, a golf commitment Sunday morning during the men's final. And I realized, not for the first time, but just sort of confirmed, man, this used to be can't miss for me. This used to be a sport and an event that I loved that I just don't care that much about anymore. If it's on and I have time, I'll watch it. That match the other day that we were talking about when the show started, I was into that because of the story of the German woman, Laura Siegemund, being 37 years old, playing, you know, sort of a crafty, you know, awkward, odd sort of style that annoys players. I kind of liked that. But other than that, man, I just don't care anymore. Used to love it. Was can't miss. U.S. Open staying up until 1:30, 2 a.m. watching, you know, these men's singles matches go five sets, go to a tiebreaker in the fifth. It was dramatic. It was. And tennis can be dramatic, you know, at the end after five, you know, plus hours. It is a grueling sport. But just don't have the passion for it at all anymore. So I'm asking all of you, what sport or sporting event did you used to love? It was an absolute must watch, can't miss, that now you don't care about or don't have time for anymore. 301-230-0980. Let's start with Scott in Odenton. Scott, go ahead.
Good morning, Kevin. How you doing?
I'm well, Scott.
Good. I heard what you said earlier about, you know, regular season basketball, that sort of thing. I'm the same with that. I used to watch all the, you know, good players in the 90s, including Jordan, Carmelo, and Olajuwon, that sort of thing. I keep track a little bit, but I don't watch the games. But the real reason I'm calling is, like your colleague, I used to love baseball as a kid. I used to watch every single Orioles game on Home Team Sports. I used to watch the Braves games on TBS. I used to like watching Nolan Ryan and all the Braves players and even the Marlins when they were good those couple years back then. But once Ripken retired and Gwynn retired and a couple other guys, I just, you know, just lost interest. And I thought that was going to happen with tennis too for me. I'm a huge tennis fan still, but when all those Americans from the, you know, 70s, 80s, 90s, especially Sampras, Agassi, Courier.
Yeah.
Once these guys were retiring, I thought I was going to stop watching, but luckily we had Federer and Djokovic and Nadal come through, and that kept me engaged with the sport. A real quick question for you. When did you stop watching tennis regularly and Federer and Djokovic and them just not spark your interest?
Yeah, it's a great question because when you said, I think for me, Agassi was the last guy that I was truly invested in, you know, because remember, it was a resurrection of his career, right? You know, he'd gone away, he'd fallen basically out of the rankings. He was playing, you know, that circuit to try to get back onto the main tour briefly. And then he came back and, you know, he won Wimbledon in, you know, I forget what year that was. I want to say it was 99. So when he came back in sort of the mid to late 90s after his fall, was it the French that he ended up winning to give him the career Grand Slam?
Yes. So that's what, like, had his, he resurrected his career, and
exactly.
Then he was basically good. There, you know, up until really the last year he played when he started having injuries.
The back injury. Yeah.
Yeah, let me ask you a quick question. I know you're the host. I'm sorry. I'm just curious.
No, please.
You're more of an Agassi fan than I was. I was
a big Agassi guy.
I was more of a Sampras fan, but yeah. Do you think that if Agassi had the mentality that Sampras had throughout his career, do you think guys would still be chasing Agassi? Like, Agassi would have 20 or more slams? Because I think that's what would have happened.
I don't know about 20 or more. By the way, I just pulled it up. So when he really made that comeback, he won the 99 French, right, to, you know, win the career Grand Slam. And then he ended up winning three of the next four majors. He won the U.S. Open that year. He won the Australian Open in 2000. He won the Australian in 2001. But remember, there were some epic, you know, it's Agassi Sampras matches. There was that quarterfinal that year at the U.S. Open that was one of, like, the highest rated tennis matches ever. That may have been 2000. Who did Hewitt beat right before 9/11? Was that?
It was both matches were 2001. Sampras beat Agassi in the quarters
in that
2001
quarter.
U.S. Open, and then
yeah.
Sampras lost to Hewitt. Basically, it was, you know, Sampras won a semi in 2001 in the U.S. Open against Hewitt, got tired, lost to Safin, Murat Safin, if you remember
okay.
him. And then it was swapped the next year where Sampras beat Safin in 2001 semi,
yeah.
and then he lost to Hewitt.
Okay.
And then Sampras, all of a sudden, the next year, didn't do much till he beat that U.S. Open, beat Agassi in the final, and then, you know, retired. But what I was going to say is, Federer and them, just watching those guys, they didn't keep your interest.
No, it's a really interesting question, and I thank you for the call. And it's a good call, and it's conjuring up memories. There's no doubt that it started to wane for me after the Agassi, Sampras, Courier. You know, that era. Now, early in Roger's, you know, run, I was a big Roger fan. I loved Fed. I loved him more than Nadal, and I liked both of them more than I've ever really liked Djokovic. I liked Murray. But I would say that, you know, probably starting in, like, the 2010s is when I really sort of started to check out, and it wasn't nearly the same. You know, I guess I could say the easy answer would be, well, there were no Americans involved. But I don't think that was it, because there were foreign players that I loved. I was a big Becker guy. I loved Wielander. I loved Edberg, you know, going back, you know, to the day. I liked Pat Cash. I loved Pat Cash's game. I think it was more like a lot of people where tennis started to fall off. Golf was emerging. Tiger's, you know, emergence made golf immediately more popular than tennis. And then the other part of it was there weren't big personalities, you know. Fed was not a huge personality. Agassi, major personality. Becker, you know, the big Dutchman, Krejcik. I used to love watching him play. Big serve and volleyer. He won Wimbledon 1 year. You know, Cash won it. He won it. Cash won at Wimbledon, right? I think,
yeah,
Cash
won.
I think
87.
87. Yeah. Like those big serve and volleyers, especially as the serve and volleyers started to fade. Remember Patrick Rafter, Australian. He won a couple of majors as a serve and volleyer. Anyway, yeah, I would say it was the 2010s. Thanks, Scott, for the call.
Thank
really
you.
Appreciate it. The question we're asking is, what sport or sporting event did you used to absolutely love that you just don't care about anymore? For me, it's tennis and the tennis majors. I'll watch it if it's on, like it is right now, where, you know, I'd love Taylor Fritz to beat Alcaraz. He's down a break in the third in a men's semifinal. They're 1-1 in sets in the third set. But, I mean, it's not like I'm going to sit here if it's got another hour and a half or 2 hours to go and stick it through. Let's go to our guy Robert in Annapolis. Robert, go ahead.
Well, same as you, tennis and the NBA, not basketball, but the NBA. But the other one, boxing. The heavyweight.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yes. How did I not mention that? Same. I was a massive boxing fan.
Right. The heavyweights in the 70s, but the lighter weights in the 80s. My God. Leonard, Hearns, Hagler, Duran, Arguello, Aaron Pryor.
Alexis Arguello and Aaron Pryor. Those fights were incredible. Yeah.
Yeah. I think half those guys wound up with brain damage, but they put on a good fight. And the other thing is the Olympics. Both the Winter and the Summer Olympics. I used to watch both of them when they would occur, and I don't have any interest anymore. And you're right. Part of it is age, and part of it, you know, the other thing with tennis, well, they took away all the tennis courts. I played tennis all the time in the 70s, and the places I used to play, there's no tennis courts there anymore. But anyhow,
yeah.
Those are mine. All right.
You nailed it with boxing. You nailed it with boxing. I was a huge fight fan. I've talked about this before, but my father was a huge fight fan. He took me to, like, close circuit, you know, fights in the 70s to watch them. Not all the time. Sometimes it was with his friends. But, I mean, Ali was, my father was, you know, Ali, Namath, ABA, AFL, even though we had, you know, Redskins season tickets, and was a massive boxing fan, and I became one too. In the 80s, really, you know, forget about the emergence of Tyson. It was all about Roberto Duran, Sugar Ray Leonard, Tommy the Hitman Hearns, Arguello, Pryor, you know, etc. That was Hagler, obviously. I mean, I still, every time it pops up on social media, Hagler Hearns is maybe the most incredible and intense, it would be 9 minutes in total, of sporting action of all time. If you've never seen Hagler and Hearns, 3 rounds, 3 minutes a round, 9 minutes, from 1985. Al Michaels was on one call. There are multiple calls of it, but it is the most intense, short boxing match ever. Boxing was great. That's a really good one. I can't believe that I forgot to mention that. The other thing, too, I'll just mention. You know what doesn't interest me as much anymore? And it's part because of the nature of the sport, too. But conference championship weekend during college basketball in March, it's just not a big deal at all. Now, for me, it's personal. The ACC tournament was a big part of my fan DNA. I mean, the ACC tournament was a fixture on the sports calendar for any Maryland fan, any ACC fan. And it was tradition. Like, you know, literally, like, you could not miss and didn't miss any of the games from quarterfinal round on. But man, the Big Ten tournament, other than watching Maryland and the games they play, and the ACC and the Big East tournament, doesn't do anything for me. I still love the NCAA tournament, even though, you know, you're almost being introduced to many of the teams and many of the players in that moment because it's become such an irrelevant regular season sport. But conference championship weekend used to be must-watch for me, isn't. anymore. Let's go to Anthony in D.C. Anthony, go ahead.
So, Kevin, like yourself, even though he was a black hole, I was a big Big E fan. And I used to go to the Cap Center when they used to
give out
those rubber basketballs. Yeah, Elvin Hayes. That was my man.
Yeah.
So fast forward to the 90s, I think I fell off with the Wizards about the end of the John Wall era. And on a macro level, I think, I don't really care for college football and college basketball anymore. And it's simply because of the player movement. Back in the day, you knew who played for who, and you knew they weren't going anywhere. Now, once I got back from the military in the early 90s, I started losing track of who was playing for who, and then it just accelerated with gasoline in the 2000s.
Yeah.
I have no idea who 90% of the players in college football and basketball are anymore. So that's why I've lost interest in that.
I get that. It's interesting, Anthony. I actually was in a text back and forth with a friend of mine who played professional football, now is in business, but still follows everything. And we were talking. He asked me, he said, have you done anything recently on college sports and the salary cap? We had Andrew Brand on earlier this week or last week, I forget, talking about some of this stuff. And we talk about it all the time. But anyway, long story short, I said what I've said on this show before to him. I said, as much as I thought player movement, unrestricted annual free agency because of NIL and the portal, and now we'll get the salary cap, when the games come on, it doesn't impact me at all. I love college football. I actually prefer Saturdays to Sundays and have for much of my life. College football, look, they're 1-1A. It depends on the weekend. It depends on the matchups. It depends on how good my team, is in terms of Washington. But it's funny because I thought that would impact the way I, that it might impact negatively the way I felt about college football. It hasn't. When the games come on, even though the players are in different places and you got to figure it out as you go, that guy's at Tennessee. He's not at Oregon anymore. Oh, that guy's, at Michigan. He's not at LSU anymore. For whatever reason, I still love college football. I love the games. In college basketball, this, past year, a lot of it is driven by Maryland for me, because that is, a number one 1A love along with the Skins. Right. But the tournament is still an incredible watch, even though going in, sometimes you're like, oh man, that guy played for Louisville last year. That guy played for Wisconsin. Now he plays for Louisville. But I don't know. The games are still great. So I get where you're coming from. And a lot of people feel that way. I actually was more impacted negatively on college sports by all of the conference reshuffling. I hate that. I wish we could put it back to, Maryland in the ACC, West Virginia in the Big East, and have all the, traditional rivalries back where they are. But, like our name, our old name here for the football team, that horse left the barn a while ago. Anthony.
I'll watch in passing college football and college basketball. But remember back in the day, you knew who a J.C. Watts was. You knew who a David Overstreet was. Now, it's just flip a coin.
Oklahoma wishbone, players for 200, Alex. Thanks, Anthony. I got to get to a break. If you're on hold, stay there. Jeff, Adam, Matt, Ian, we've got a line open. What sport or sporting event did you used to love that you don't care about anymore? For me, number one on the list is tennis and the majors. Wimbledon's going on right now. I got it on. I'm watching. I'm rooting for Taylor Fritz, the American, but I really don't have much passion for it. What about you? 301-230-0980. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, the team980.com. We're also free and live on the Odyssey app. Don't forget, you can stream the show and watch it live on the Team 980 YouTube channel. When you get there, subscribe and hit the like button.
All right, here's what's happening on this Friday, July 11th. Happy 7-11 to all. It is free Slurpee Day. And now some sports. Wimbledon action going on right now. Men's semifinal. Taylor Fritz is taking on Carlos Alcaraz. Alcaraz currently leads 2-1. Later today, they will take on the winner of Jannik Sinner, going up against legendary Serb Novak Djokovic. And the Home Run Derby participants have been finalized. Ronald Acuna, Byron Buxton, Junior Caminero, O'Neal Cruz, Cal Raleigh, Brent Rooker, DC's James Wood, and last night it was rounded out by New York Yankees Jazz Chisholm. And the Mystics, they get their win last night over the Las Vegas Aces after erasing a 15-point deficit and battling down the stretch. They win 70-68. Wizards Summer League debuts tonight at 9 p.m. They will take on the Phoenix Suns. And the Nats, they wrap up their series in St. Louis. They fall to the Cardinals by a score of 8-1. A rough outing for Michael Soroka as he threw 91 pitches through just 4 innings. The Nats kick off their series against the Brewers tonight. First pitch is at 8:10. Nats on deck with Charlie and Dave at 7:40 on the Fan. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live from 10-1 and Craig Hoffman from 4-7. Don't forget to like the streams and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that is what's trending.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
It's the sporting event you used to love that you just don't care about anymore. For me, it's tennis. Although I have to say, Robert reminding me, I was massively into boxing. Just loved boxing. Couldn't care less about boxing anymore. But tennis for me was top of mind because this morning, you know, and this would have never happened 10, 12 years ago, probably not even 5 or 6 years ago, maybe. I just made a tea time. Somebody asked, you available? You want to be our fourth Sunday morning? Sure. Didn't even think about what I used to be an absolute present accounted for sporting event for me was Wimbledon men's final Sunday morning breakfast at. Don't care anymore. What about it? What about for you? What's the sport or sporting event you used to love that you just don't care as much about anymore, or you don't have time for anymore? Let's go to Jeff in Vienna. Jeff, go ahead.
Happy Friday, Kevin.
You too, Jeff.
And Hagler Hearns and Connors Crickstein. That brings back some memories.
Connors Crickstein. Labor Day, 1990.
Yeah.
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 Do you know was, that match?
That was insane.
Jeff, do you know that match that Connors and Crickstein were practice partners, and then after that match they had a major falling out, and Connors just sort of abandoned Crickstein? There's a whole documentary or you know, that something that's been done about that, and then they finally reconciled many, many years later. Connors was a difficult guy, obviously, but they were practice partners, and Crickstein considered Jimmy, even though he was older, to be a friend. And after that match, and Crickstein melted down in that match and blew it, Connors didn't talk to him for years. It was an odd thing, but anyway, go ahead.
Didn't know that. Connors with that steel frame Wilson 2000 or whatever.
T2000, yep.
So, yeah, I'm glad you briefly mentioned Wimbledon. Right now I'm laying out a trip next year that might include Wimbledon, the British F1 race, Scottish or the British Open, and maybe the Tour de France. Trying to lay that all out. So Wimbledon would be great. For me, it's the MLB All-Star Game and the Home Run Derby.
That's a good one.
Monday night and Tuesday – I've been to 4 or 5 All-Star games. I was at Camden Yards in 93 when MJ was in the celebrity home run hitting contest. I saw Harper win the one at Nats Park. But when Max just read off those names of the guys in the home run derby, I'm like, yeah, I probably won't even know that it's on Monday, you know. And same for Tuesday with the All-Star game. Although they are finally going back to wearing their own uniforms this year, which will be a huge help.
You know, that's another one. Although I was, you know, because Gore and Wood are in the game this year, you know, and when that was announced the other day, I was like, I'm going to watch the All-Star game. I mean, I want to see how they do. But you're right. But I would say for me, even more so, the NBA All-Star game, the NBA All-Star game, that used to be must-watch. That is now a joke, even though they are going to go to the international stars against the American-born stars in 2026. Although, if they don't play hard and they treat it like it's, you know, an exhibition of, you know, half-court shots and trick shots, it's still not going to work. They've got to compete in that game for it to work. Jeff, thanks. Appreciate it. Let's go to Adam.
Yeah. Hit him straight.
Adam's calling from Rutgersville. Adam, what's the sporting event or sport you used to love that you just don't care about anymore?
Yeah, so when I first was out of college, some buddies of mine would always get together right at the NFL draft before they switched the format to being Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And it was all on Saturday. The first couple rounds were on Saturday. They had some others on Sunday, I think. Anyway, that Saturday would always be get a bushel of crabs, roll out the keg, get some cornhole, spend the whole day talking, you know, football and just watching the draft. And when we switched the format, I mean, I still watch it, but it just doesn't have the same fanfare that, you know, the opportunity of it all being on Saturday, you know, presented. So that's something that I always look back on.
Well, it's interesting. In college, the draft was literally on ESPN, but it was a weekday morning and it would start at 8 a.m. and it would go the entire day. I mean, it was a whole day event, and it was Kuiper and it was Berman and whoever else was on. And I can tell you that my friends and I in college, we had the quarter to half keg fired up and ready to go at like 7 a.m. for the NFL draft.
There you go.
And that was a fun day for sure. I do remember that, Adam. Thanks. Matt, go ahead.
Thanks, Kevin. Can you hear me?
I got you, Matt.
Great. Looking back to the World Series, Oakland A's of 73, Reds of 74, Yankees of 77. Those were great teams, and there are only, you know, three networks to choose from, so it was a different time then. And now it's people have more to choose from. People have more channels.
Sure.
People have cable. And look at the Florida Marlins now. They have a lot of in their own community. They have a hard time getting viewers, I think, because the Marlins have a lot to compete with. But back in the 70s, we all had a national outlook, I think. I don't know how many people watched Kurt Gowdy, but it was a different time then.
Well, I mean, you're talking about legendary times. But, yeah, I mean, of course, everything's changed because of so much fragmentation when it comes to, you know, viewing options. And and back then it was, you know, NBC, ABC, and CBS, and that was it for sports. And look, when you think about that period, the World Series went head-to-head with the NFL. You know, it would be right there on a Sunday afternoon, the World Series in October, you know, going head-to-head with the NFL. NBC would, you know, show the World Series games, and CBS was showing an NFL game, and baseball didn't care. I mean, I remember, you know, the baseball, you know, up until probably the 80s, baseball wouldn't fear going head-to-head with the NFL. Like Sunday night football, certainly when you get to the 90s, Monday night football. But man, over the last quarter century plus, they try to steer clear of any NFL conflict. And you can't help it in the early rounds of the postseason, but they try to steer clear of all of it. Let's finish it up with Dennis. Dennis, go ahead.
Hey, Kevin, good talking to you again. I know this sounds weird after what y'all are talking about, but me and my son used to love WWF wrestling. And I mean going back to the 70s for me. Still, one of the loudest events I've ever been to, and I've been to hundreds, was when Bruno Sammartino fought at Capital Center against his protege who turned against him. It was extraordinary to hear that. And we have been to many other ones. We saw George the Animal Steel, Andre the Giant, Axe and Smash, all those great acts. And I know that may not count as a sport, but
boy, no, but it's but you're about to tell me you don't care anymore.
I do not. It just it doesn't do it anymore. It's all stories lines all the time. There's almost no wrestling when you go to the TV shows, and I don't even know any of them anymore.
Yeah, I just, I mean, I do remember a period of time where I would watch, you know, the WWE on you know, Channel 20 on a Saturday morning, but it just was never for me. I just never really embraced it because it was not really sport. It wasn't true competition. But I have friends of mine that I'm always surprised at just how into it they were. I mean, Tommy was so into it. Al Galdi, a good friend of mine for, you know, 20 years now, just is still, you know, references all those, you know, guys whenever he can. So, yeah, I just never, I never got it. Never really got into it. But maybe the next...
Big deal, but...
Yeah, maybe the next topic, you know, a few years from now will be what didn't you ever care about that now you actually like? Thanks, Dennis. Appreciate it. Appreciate the call. Appreciate all the calls. Yeah, for me, God, man, a couple of them came up. The NBA All-Star Game, that used to be must-watch. It hasn't been must-watch for a long time for me.
The dunk contest, if I'm going to jump in, we're talking
NBA. I didn't used to miss, never missed NBA All-Star Saturday night. 10, 15 years ago, not for me. For my kids, not for me. And the game itself, we talked about it, you know, in after the game this year. It's an absolute joke. And the players themselves are responsible for ruining it. You know, they don't have, you know, enough, they don't have enough understanding or self-awareness that they are taking something that used to be very popular and running it into the ground. They just don't have time for it. They're too wealthy. They're too busy. They just don't give two craps about it. And I'm going to be very interested to see come February of 2026, the international lineup against the American lineup. A lot of people think that this is going to be the solution to the NBA game. It could be, but not if they play the game like they've been playing the game. They're hoping that international versus American generates what that, you know, first four, the four nations thing generated. I don't know. I think basketball players are different than hockey players. And I question whether or not you're going to see real competition versus exhibition. We'll see when we get there. Mike Florio, remember we talked about what he wrote yesterday on ProFootballTalk.com, that the new uniforms or the alt uniforms in 25, but will eventually become the permanents, we believe, in 26 or no later than 27. He thought it was the first step towards reclaiming the old name. He was on with the Junkies this morning and added some context and some detail to what he wrote yesterday. You'll hear some of that next.